This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars Episode 81 was recorded on December 2nd, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. Santiago Capital founder Brent Johnson is back. It's been quite a long time since we've had you on the program, Brent. And listeners, Brent put together a fantastic slide deck of several slides that we're going to talk about in today's interview. You can find the download link next to Brent's picture on our homepage at macrovoices.com. Brent, your first slide here is the U.S. dollar, a subject that's near and dear to my heart. Boy, you know, there's a lot of smart people that are saying, okay, that was it. The early October high that we had on the dollar, that was the final top. It's all downhill from here. Now, I can't help but observe that those are the same people that made that same call about four times previously and were wrong. But they're saying it with more gusto this time. So is it possible that this deal is over, or is it just a matter of time? And what's going on with these two different colored lines? You've got a black line and a blue line here that are painting different trajectories for the dollar index.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me again, and looking forward to talking to you guys today. So this chart that I sent out, this is a chart that we've put out since the spring of this year, and it kind of shows two different scenarios for the dollar. And one of them is kind of a gentle up and to the right line, and the other one takes a dip before heading back up. And the second line is the blue line, which shows it's possible that the dollar could pull back in the short term. Now, I want to be clear before I go any further. This is not Brent retreating. This is not Brent, you know, changing his mind on the dollar. The dollar is going to go much, much higher over the next couple of years. But like I've been saying, since the spring, since the start of the talk of this trade deal really got going, there's always been a currency component to this. And every couple, you know, months or weeks even, you'll hear Munchen come out and say that, you know, one of the things that we're talking about is the currency component of this deal. And there is a currency component. So we believe that if there is some trade deal that has come to, even if it's comes kind of a temporary stage one trade deal, it wouldn't shock us to learn that there's some kind of a currency component to this. And it's possible that over the next 6 to 9 months, as a result, the dollar trades down sideways or even down a little bit. Would not surprise us. But we don't think that that would change any behavior. In fact, we think it would exacerbate the behavior that's gone on over the last 10 years. And in 6 to 9 months, we would be delayed, but we'd be right back to where we started. And ultimately, it would make the problem even higher. And I think that this, if you go back a couple months when the dollar hit the high, I think it was, like you said, early October, late September, early October, you know, it was around the time that the repo, U.S. repo thing was going on. But it was also around the same time where the trade deal was really being discussed. And the dollar really fell more on the currency component comments by Munchen than it did on the repo situation. So I think that that is weighing on the dollar as much as anything. But think about this. We have now had this year, we've had this talk of this trade war. We've had a complete Fed reversal. We've had not QE, QE. We've had huge debt that needs to be rolled. We've got $22 trillion in national debt. We've got this functional Euro SPV so that they can trade with Iran. We've got Trump calling the Fed the enemy, and we've got twin deficits. And the dollar's still up for the year, and it's still at 98. So, you know, something that's supposed to go down and doesn't tells me it's going higher. Now, again, it won't shock me if we go sideways or down for the next 6 to 9 months, but this thing is just getting started. I still believe we're going much, much higher.
Brent, you say we're going down maybe a little bit and it's nothing to worry about. Is there an amount of down that becomes something to worry about? In other words, is there some kind of stop level where we say, okay, something must be wrong with the view. It's time to rethink all of this?
If it was just the level and nothing else changed, I'm not sure. You know, somebody asked me this a couple years ago or a year and a half ago when the dollar was at 90, 89, 90. I think it was the spring of 2008 and everybody said, though, it was over. And don't get me wrong, that didn't feel good to watch the dollar go from, you know, 97 or 98 back to 90. But, you know, until the fundamental behavior changes and until something fundamentally changes with the way the world is set up, I believe that this ends in the dollar going much higher. So it's hard for me to say, you know, at this one level, I would change my mind. But I'm always open to being wrong. I would have to evaluate it at that time.
Moving on to page 2 in the slide deck, we've got the S&P 500. Now, just to refresh our listeners' memory, well, most of the guests that we've been talking about have been screaming a bearish warning signal that these are lofty, crazy valuations. You have been a lone voice saying, wait a minute, no, I think the S&P is actually headed much higher. And so far, you've been right. We have seen a lot of our other guests amazed by the strength in the equity market. Refresh our memory, Brent, on your view as to what's driving this and explain what we can expect from here as we approach really the top of the trading range here.
Yeah, sure. So essentially what I've been saying for the last couple of years is that, yes, things are bad. Yes, fundamentally, you know, the global economy has been propped up on artificial QE. Yes, things, you know, are not necessarily moving in the right direction on an earnings front or a price to earnings ratio front, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. However, that doesn't mean that equities are going to go down. You know, as capital comes into the dollar and into the U.S., I think that those flows will push the equity market higher. And I think that's partly what we've seen. And it's not shocking at all for me to see the S&P and the Dow at these levels. Now, we're kind of getting to the top of this, you know, decade-long channel. And I know several people have said, you know, we can't go any higher. But, you know, I think we can. Now, we're kind of at the top of this channel. I will tell you quite honestly, I have some hedges on our equity position. We've had a great year. We're up, you know, high double digits, high teens. And I think it's prudent to put some hedges on over the next month, because I think, you know, as we approach that level, we're probably likely to pull back. But that said, if we get a strong pullback, I will be a buyer of equities. And I also believe that once we break through the top of that channel, that we're going to go much higher. And I know that's kind of hard to believe, but I think as the world economy slows down and capital looks for a relative safe place to go, that U.S. equities are going to become increasingly attractive.
Let's move on to page 3 then. China, give us the update. Obviously, all eyes are on this trade deal. It seems to me like everybody is a little bit too preoccupied with the trade deal. Is it really that big of a deal to markets, or are people overreacting a little bit to each little blip of news we get?
Well, I think both. I think it is a very big deal, but I think markets are also overreacting to every little, you know, every little headline that comes out. But one thing that I wanted to point out was that I hear all the time how China is the much better long-term thinker and much better long-term planner than the United States. And, you know, they're playing the long game and they can hold out much longer than we can. And, you know, Trump has to get reelected in the next year, where Z doesn't. So, you know, they've got that to their advantage. And listen, there's some truth to that. I'm not just going to throw that out the window. You know, but there's some things going on in China that aren't exactly great for them over the next year as well. I mean, they have a huge credit problem. You know, all I hear about over the last couple of months is the repo and the not QE, QE that the US has been doing for, you know, since September. But the fact is, China's been doing it all year. They had a huge repo problem over the summer. In May, they had a big bank fail. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've seen another couple either fail or come very close to failing. So, you know, this problem in the banking system is not just a U.S. problem. It's a global problem. And I would argue that it's even worse elsewhere than it is here. And you're starting to see that show up in China. Not only that, but China has a huge issue with their corporates having issued dollar debt. And there's a huge maturity wall coming up next year, where like 40 or 50% of the corporate dollar debt that China owes is coming due and needs to be refinanced. You know, it's not as easy for them to do that with the dollar where it is as if the dollar was lower. So this idea that U.S. has all the problems, China can just sit back and wait us out is I think, false. And I think we're going to start to see that as we get into 2020.
And on slide 4, the last slide in the deck, Canada. Why Canada? What's on your mind here?
Well, Canada, we think, is one of the best opportunities on the short side, to be quite honest. And partly this partly plays into the global economy slowing and China slowing. Canada has huge exposure to the Chinese market. Canada is one of the few remaining major central banks to maintain their tight monetary policy. You know, everybody else has kind of relinquished and gone back to easy money policy, and Canada hasn't. And we think Canada, there's no way that the global economy slows and Canada is somehow immune to that. So we think there's a very good chance that Canada is going to have to cut rates, and perhaps aggressively, and perhaps very soon. So one of our biggest trades we have right now is betting that Canada is going to have to cut rates sometime in the next year. So I would take a very close look at Canada. The, you know, their economy has been strong, but we think it has a very high chance that it will turn down. And you've started to see just in the last couple of weeks, despite them maintaining their tight monetary policy, we've started to see some of their central bankers and some of their central bank governors kind of hedge that a little bit and start talking about how they may have to ease off a bit. So that's something that we're watching very closely.
Brent, I can't let you go until we talk about gold. You and I have both shared the view that gold is ultimately headed much higher in the long term. But back when it was up there at, you know, 1500, 1550, we really felt a significant pullback was in order and that there would be better buying opportunities lower. Now, we've seen some of that. We've gotten back down as we're speaking today. We're looking at 1463. We tested that 1450 level a few weeks ago. Is this it? Is it time to buy, or is there maybe still lower prices to come?
Well, listen, my story on gold hasn't changed. You know, I continue to say everybody should own gold. So if you don't own any gold, then yeah, this is a good time to buy. But, you know, just because I think you should buy it now doesn't mean I think it's going to pay off right now either. You know, I own gold. I think everybody should own gold. You know, I had over 30% of my portfolio in gold a year ago. I've used this rally this year to reduce that. It's probably around 20% now. So I obviously still have a significant holding in gold. You know, I didn't think it was going to break out the way that it did this year, but it did. You know, I hope whenever I'm wrong like that, I make money like I did this year as well. But, you know, I continue to maintain that we're going to go back and test that 1375 to 1400 breakout level. Now, whether that happens in the next 6 days or the next 6 months, I don't know, but I still think that we're going to. If it turns out that I'm wrong, I own gold, so I'll be fine. But I think if you already own gold and you already have a significant holding in gold, there's no reason to rush out and buy it here. If you already have it, I don't think you need to go buy more.
Brent, thanks for another terrific interview. We look forward to getting you back next month for another update. Listeners, be sure to stay tuned to Macro Voices this week. We've got some terrific content for you. Dr. Pippa Malmgren still to come on All Stars this week. And we also have Mark Gordon with a very interesting interview with respect to where the oil market is headed in the long term on the Thursday night flagship podcast. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.